Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey, Goldberg! I bet if that puck was a cheeseburger, could you stop it?
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack, 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 quack. No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. I was this close. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are calling an audible today. We had a guest lined up, had to reschedule it, so I'm hopeful for the future here. But we still have a lot to talk about, despite that. And the first thing I want to do, though, is let's check in on some Kentucky action. We haven't checked in a while here. December 2016. So we're coming up on almost 5 years now.
Wow. What are we going to do for the 5-year anniversary? Maybe we cash out?
Oh,
that would party? Be...
Oh, buy, that a couple, would be... buy a couple personal pizzas.
Maybe just one.
Yeah. But 5 years, December 2016, Kevin invests roughly $300 in Kid Token. I think it was like 343 or something like that. It was all the way down to $1.29 or something, had popped back up to $20. Where do we sit now, Kevin?
We're sitting at $34.39.
Okay.
So not I great. Think if we get to $200, we have to cash out and go to PF Chang's.
Oh, that would be good.
Well, maybe like $220 because there's taxes.
Yeah, it's I'd have to buy some Ethereum to cash out, and that's expensive right now. So I don't know. I don't know what the number would have to be. But I'm in it for the long haul.
Obviously, 5 years. The second thing that we have not really touched on too much, but I did want to bring this back up. We do have a chicken wing challenge that we need to figure out. There was a lot of talk about making this like a big event. We were talking about flying to Vegas and stuff like that. Obviously, you know, Delta variant, Lambda variant, whatever kind of mu variants out there now. Be careful, people, with coronavirus. So I don't know, you know, what we're going to do if flying is still on the table and whatnot. But I'm still thinking about the chicken wing challenge. Kevin, are you still up to attempt the 42 chicken wings?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think we all need to attempt it.
Oh, yeah. We're all attempting it. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That would add some flavor to it. So, can you beat Kevin? And yeah, so we'll, I'll try to think about that more and see what we can do. And if any challengers want to come in and, take on Kevin and us, we'll let you know. We'll let you know what's going
to
happen.
We need to fly to like, I don't know, where's Matt Doherty living these days?
Los Angeles.
Well, we're going to LA and we're going to just tell Matt we need 2 hours of your time. We're going to do a chicken wing challenge. I hopefully he's not a vegetarian.
Hopefully not. I did try to get Evan's dad, Eddie McClintock, to like do it, but he's like pretty famous actually. He's like got people and stuff like that, so he's got a lot of Twitter followers. But if you're still out there, and I hope I said his name right, I hope it's Eddie, it's something McClintock,
it's Eddie McClintock. You might know him for The Sweetest Thing that came out in 2002. He played Michael. And we'll give him he was in Bones for a while, so good for him.
Yeah, I did.
He's been a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a good resume there. So we'll
see. He can afford 42 chicken wings. We'll put it that way.
We'll see if we can you know, get him involved somehow. I think he's on Cameo. His Cameo is kind of expensive though. But hey, we have producer money now, so we'll see if that is money well spent. But let's move on to the topic at hand here. This one was in the news again. Us Weekly talked to Marguerite Moreau, who played Connie Moreau in Mighty Ducks. So we talked about this before. She talked about, you know, Joshua Jackson saying he was excited to be in Game Changers season two-ish. There was some ambiguity there. But you go back and listen to our other episodes. I'll put it in the show notes to hear our discussion on that. But they published another part of this interview, Us Weekly or usmagazine.com. I don't know which one they prefer. But Marguerite talks about dating and talks specifically about Eldon Henson, who played Fulton Reed. And for those that don't know, Eldon Henson is Guy Germain, Garrett Henson's brother. So the two characters were not brothers, but the actors were brothers. And she says, I was so sweet on Fulton. We kind of dated while filming the first movie. I can't delve on anyone else because I'm just me, but I definitely was, you know, sweet on the boys and boy crazy. So this throws a lot of wrenches into both, I feel like, the set and the, I guess, character dynamic between Guy, Fulton. There was some talk that Guy was maybe Fulton's half brother, and we don't know this thing. So first of all, do we think it caused any issues on set between Eldon Henson, Garrett Henson, and, you know, Marguerite Moreau?
I think there's probably a good amount of teasing that might have gone on, being at that age, especially like, because one of the big parts of like the first movie is like they don't kiss, right? And so it's not like, hey, I'm kissing your girlfriend, guy, you know, whatever, like I'm the good brother. But I can imagine there being some teasing going on, just because, you know, that's just good clean fun right there.
Yeah, they do make out at the end. They have a pretty intense makeout sesh for like a 12-year-old when they're all celebrating there. But Kevin, if you're on set, what's your play here?
What's my play here?
Yeah, I mean, if you're on set, like, why are you making fun of Eldon? Are you making fun of Garrett? Who's the loser in this situation?
I guess Guy would be, or Garrett, I guess, because he, you know, not only is he always kind of losing out in the actual filming, you know, on the sidelines, he's not even, you know, in the thick of it. So, I think it's definitely would be quite a bit of teasing going on just because of the age and, you know, that general time of life. So I bet it was a lot of fun.
So you
not
did
for, not for Guy though. It wasn't fun for him.
Yeah. So you did remind me of something I did want to bring up. So the debate about, you know, the best in the trilogy has raged on, and one of the Quacklites, Hannah, she wrote like a whole dissertation on D3, why it was the best. Basic theme was, you know, it's about change, and it's about change in teenagers' life and how it's inevitable and dealing with change. So there were some good points in there, but the one interesting thing that she brought up, and she sort of just brought this up pretty casually, that Guy and Connie were actually broken up in D3, which is an interesting sort of side note, because they have a couple scenes together, and, you know, Connie is like, hey, you look, and then Guy's like, oh, incredibly handsome, and she goes, incredibly stupid or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know if that is, I have to go back and review the film, but it could add a whole nother layer to this aspect here with Guy and Fulton and Connie going at it. So
I think they were still together. I think, cause yeah, the line is like, you know, it looks so, and he's like ruggedly handsome. And she says like amazingly stupid. But I think it's just like, you know, couples fight.
I mean, yeah, Tommy's wife tells him that all the time.
That I'm ruggedly handsome.
Yeah
okay, fair enough. I'd like to get the Quacklites to weigh in here. Like I said, I'm gonna have to, you know, review this a little harder, but I had never considered that really until Hannah brought it up. But Do we think there's any relationship between Guy and Fulton, the character?
Do we think that they are like related?
Yeah, in some way. Half brother, cousin.
I'm going to say no, because like we don't get any sort of acknowledgement on that. Like not even a hint of anything, you know?
Yeah, I think we would kind of have to look through, we'd really be going through the weeds, which we never do. You know, we never have speculative fiction in this show, but it would have to be something like Guy's dad or something like that is like, actually like they were half brothers, like, or something like that. And maybe they don't realize it because Guy's dad like was fooling around or something. Because they're the same age, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, they'd have to be within a year or so, yeah.
Maybe they're twins, and like Fulton was the evil one, and so they sent him away.
He's the good son?
Maybe.
Or the bad son?
Like they sent Fulton away, because like he came out, like, and he was just like, oh, I don't want a kid that only plays football.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent him away to live in the alley. So maybe that's what they did, like separated at birth.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, we don't know really anything about Fulton's parent. He seems to be a street kid, so it's possible, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, as Kevin said, we don't really have any evidence here. But do we have any evidence that Connie and Fulton had anything going on here?
No, but I can imagine Fulton, everyone, like a lot of the girls kind of being like, what's his story? You know, he's so mysterious. And that like Fulton would definitely play into that, you know, in his later years. And so I can imagine Connie or other girls having crushes on him and not really talking about it, though.
Yeah. You'd figure Connie had a crush on Fulton just based on this new evidence that came up, considering, you know, it is a documentary. So I don't know if that splits up Connie and Guy. So obviously we see, if you go to Game Changers now, you jump, Connie and Guy go the distance. They have kids. So they make it. But do we think they stay together from when they were 12 years old all the way throughout? Or are there some like bumps in the road where they, you know, break up for a while, start dating other people, that kind of deal?
I think it was more of a like a breakup and then a reconnection later. Maybe like after he's a lawyer, yes.
Well, he
now he's
his
dad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Connie is a Minnesota State Senator.
So maybe after, I don't know, undergrad or postgrad, if one of them got a postgrad degree, maybe like they reconnected at like some networking event or something and it kind of snowballed from there.
Oh, but interesting.
I definitely think there was a gap.
Yeah. So are we thinking they broke up high school or, you know, for just a couple years in college? Like how deep are we going between, you know, when they broke up, when they got back together and all that?
So I think they were still dating when they went to college, but they went to different colleges and they mm-hmm. tried to do that. And then by the end of freshman year, they're broken up. And
like
then
it's like American Pie 2.
Yeah, classic story.
And then Guy fucks a pie. but no, yeah, they do reconnect. I don't know if they reconnect like after college or like maybe during senior year, or it's like Connie ends up doing grad school like back in Minneapolis or something, and so she grabs a drink with Guy and they reunite or something like that. Because I could see Connie getting a graduate degree since she is she has a political aspirations.
Yeah, so I do think we're on the right track here. So Connie and Guy are pretty much, you know, tied together. Even in high school, you would figure they're tied together whether they like it or not. At this point, they go to different colleges, new people, don't know their history. They sort of branch out of what they were sort of pigeonholed into, and then we come back shortly after college, or Connie's getting a master's degree in law or public policy or something. And then they come back together. Is there any point in time where Connie and Fulton get together then?
maybe one of the summers back home. Fulton, yeah. Maybe he's working construction and she sees him and they have a couple of dates or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think it definitely happens at some point. And I think maybe that leads to a little bit of that, maybe some animosity for a while. And then it just takes time for it to kind of resolve.
I could also see a scenario where Fulton, since we've always kind of said he's captain material, he's loyal, where even if Connie showed interest and if he had interest, he wouldn't.
Mm.
Like, even though like he's totally out of the picture at that time or something like that, I could see Fulton being like loyal, like to a fault really. And kind of staying away. So yeah, and then I could also see Fulton being a bit of a player at the same time. So
yeah, I mean, he does seem pretty invested in the Ducks, even, you know, 20 years later. He was like all pumped up for the Ducks gala. So it certainly seems like at some point Fulton and Connie, I don't know if they give it like a real shot, but they, you know, are hanging out with one another. Yeah. How long does that take, do we think, for, you know, Guy to get over? Does Connie bring it up, I guess? Does Guy ever figure this out? Does he learn of this? Does Connie bring it up at like early on, or does she wait until, you know, they're together and married and bring it up later?
I think Guy knows. I think one thing about Guy and the Game Changers, he looks very like level-headed. He kind of knows like his role and everything, and he's cool with it. And also, like, Guy, when he was broken up with Connie, I'm sure he also like dated around. It wasn't like a true American Pie where he was just obsessed with Connie the whole time, I don't think.
Yeah, like he went and hooked up with like Julie the Cat or something.
Oh
no, no, actually, to get back at Fulton, he hooked up with Portman.
Oh, that would be a twist. Now we're getting into some, there's some fan fiction out there that gets dangerously close to what we're talking about right now. So you can look it up. Just search it online. I don't want to direct you to any of.
You're not going to link it in the show notes?
I'm, we'll see. We'll see.
Nah, just tell people what they can search for.
Yeah, just Google Mighty Ducks fan fiction and whatever suffixes you're into onto the end of that. Anyway, let's move on here. So Connie and Guy, Connie dates Fulton, Guy dates around. Do we think Julie is in the picture here or no? Like, seriously, with Guy?
Julie, no. I think, again, Julie is, she would never date a teammate, I don't think.
Yeah, that's a great
maybe,
point.
Maybe he shoots the shot and then gets shut down.
Yeah, it might be like a one-time deal, but it's not like a serious dating thing. You figure Julie on the path to, you know, superstardom as Team USA's goalie. So she's and probably maybe traveling around.
She's dating Scooter, like Scooter graduates, but they're dating or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going for the older guys there. So yeah. So then they come back, they get together. There's some baggage to work out, but we figure they eventually work it out. And then they come back, get together. Is there anything we missed and sort of filling in the gaps here? And I'm interested to see if we get into any of this later on in Mighty Ducks Game Changers, if any of the backstory comes up here.
So what you could say is like a Julie or a Connie and Guy's wedding. Obviously Fulton will be invited. I think all the Ducks are invited. But you also see Guy's dad is there and then Guy's dad is like, holy shit, that's the other son, Fulton, that I never told anyone about. And so maybe you've got some, that's when it came out, or maybe Guy's dad went back into hiding or something like that. Because I do think we could probably explore some more Guy-Fulton relations. And whether it's, hey, yeah, they just have the same dad and, you know, maybe they don't know it, obviously, or they separated at birth. And I like the separated at birth angle.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I was too focused on the Connie Guy Fulton triangle. I forgot that they were separated at birth and Fulton went to live in an alley. So yeah, that wedding becomes interesting because the dad obviously sees Fulton. Does he tell Guy/Connie at any point about this relationship? that, or does he even tell Fulton that he's the dad? A lot of questions for Gee's dad here.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be tough to be like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm your father, you know, after leaving you in an alley. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, they're twins, and they, yeah. Fulton was like, he looked like an evil kid, and so they abandoned him.
I think he might open himself up to some criminal liability there if that's the case.
That's true. It would have to be Fulton. It'd have to be some sort of like 23andMe situation.
Yeah, Fulton does it, and then like Gee like gets it for like the whole family for Christmas. Oh, it'll be fun to find out like, oh, are we Irish or are we whatever? You know, I guess French Canadian.
Yeah.
And then the dad is reluctant, and they kind of have to pressure him into doing it. And then they have a talk, and Fulton's like, there's a whole backstory of Fulton being raised by like dogs, and like being able to bark with them and speak to them.
Oh, wow. That's a good skill. He's like, he's kind of like an Aquaman for dogs. Where he can
and that's why he didn't learn how to skate, because dogs don't skate.
Makes sense. We're on top of it now. Okay. So 23andMe, Fulton learns that Gee is his at least half brother. Maybe full brother.
We're gonna say full on brother. Same parents, same mom, same dad, and maybe mom. Like, I don't know. We could get really dark here. We won't do that. let's just say mom's no longer in the picture.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we know they come from like a rough neighborhood. Even Gee comes from a rough neighborhood at the beginning of D1 there. So yeah. So Fulton's dad explains this to Fulton, that he was basically an evil child. What is Fulton's reaction? Does he want to have a relationship with Gee / his dad, or does he, you know, just shun him, or is he out for revenge? What if you're Fulton, how do you play this, Kevin?
I mean, I don't think there could ever be any sort of reconciliation there. That's a pretty big betrayal, if you will. I do think it changes Gee and his father's relationship, though.
Interesting. In what way? Like, does Gee mad at his father?
Yeah, I mean, he would have to be like, yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
He's not like, oh my god, you chose me, I'm so grateful, I'm your favorite.
That's a good point. Gee's an adult now. Like, maybe if he was still 12 or something, there'd be a different relationship. But yeah, you'd have to be.
It explains why they name when their kids off of Bombay and not after like the dad. Like, Bombay was like the best dad he had, maybe.
Oh,
so maybe his dad is just an overall piece of shit.
That's,
and I guess,
true.
Forcing one of your kids to go live in an alley, it's probably an indicator of that as well.
Yeah. That is some excellent points there. Just a real rags to riches story, I guess, for Fulton. Just an incredible story to survive as a baby with dogs and grow up on the streets, and then be able to talk to dogs, become a football star, become a hockey star, and then goes into construction. Fine profession. Nothing wrong with that. So just a real American success story for Fulton. Does it get weird that Connie dated Gee's brother at any point? I guess this is after the wedding that they learn. Does that throw any sort of wrench into this marriage?
I mean, I operate under the assumption that it was known before the wedding.
That it was known that Fulton was his brother?
Oh, no, not that.
Oh, but so
they,
like,
did know that they had hooked up.
Right. But hooking up with the friend versus we don't really know that Gee and Fulton were that great of friends. It's not like they're in a lot of scenes, you know, hanging out with each other. But yeah, does it change anything that it's now his brother that Connie dated for a while they were on a break?
Makes things a little awkward at first, but I think by the time Game Changers rolls around, like, they're all fine.
Okay. I can accept that. Yeah. Like, I don't think, as the evidence indicates, they're still together. They're pretty happy. At least in public, who knows, you know, what their home life is like, but you would figure that out.
Maybe Game Changers. There's like a subplot of Connie and Guy going through some issues and Guy's got to talk to Bombay about it or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to Game Changers, really getting into this whole, as I think Air Lemaire said on Twitter, Jerry Springer situation. So,
and it only gets better with the deadbeat dad of Guy and Fulton.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he shows back up. Who knows? Who knows what he's doing nowadays? But I'm excited to see him. Season 2, season 3. Might have to wait until season 4.
Season 2, season 3, season 4, whenever it happens, who would play Guy and Fulton's dad? It's got to be like in his 60s, I guess.
He's got to be relatively good looking, but not like amazingly good looking, I would say. So in his 60s, my first thought was like a Martin Sheen, but he's just for, you know.
No, that's too obviously old. Bombay's dad. It's going to be real weird.
Who's in his 60s? How old is Vin Diesel? Well, can we throw him in?
I'm all in for that. That'd be great.
Vin Diesel as Guy, and I think he's in his 50s.
Okay. I don't want to go like a Tom Cruise here. Like I said, that's a little too much for, you know.
I was going to say for comedy purposes, Richard Kind, just because that'd be funny, but...
I mean, we can leave it up. We can leave it open.
We can put out a call to the Quacklites, what they think.
Yeah. We can definitely. Have
you guys seen Shameless?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. William H. Macy would be really good.
He's a little too old, and I don't think he's good looking enough. But the Fiona's like older boyfriend boss in like a couple of seasons. Yeah.
He'd be good.
Because he's like a good looking older man.
He might be too young though.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, maybe Guy's dad had these children young. But we can leave it up to the Quacklites and see, you know, what they think about it. But as they continue to look, anything else we need to address here with this whole situation?
All right, hold on. I'm finding out the actor here, Dermot Mulroney.
Solid. And
he is 57, so it could have been like had a young kid or something, or had a kid when you were 18 or 19. It does happen.
All right, I like it. Let's do it, Dermot Mulroney. For now, tentative. Right. We got some time to figure it out. I don't think they're gonna get to it in season 2, maybe season 3, possibly might have to wait till season 4.
All right, so Eldon Henson the actor is 44, so he'd have to be 13, so we're gonna have to brainstorm this a little bit.
Yeah, maybe not. Let's move on here. Let's go to the quick question. You asked us questions on Twitter, on Facebook, through the Discord. We picked the best ones, try to answer them. We, like I said, we were supposed to have a guest, so we are not prepared. Yeah,
I'm woefully unprepared for this.
I'm looking
just
for
like every other week.
I'm looking for one. This one we might have to expand on later, but it's a good one from Bberg19 on the Discord. He says, thinking about the connections between heavyweights and the Ducks documentaries, camp counselor Lars is billed as from far away. If he was from Iceland and had chosen hockey over camp counseling, would he have put Iceland over the top in D2? Similarly, wondering how the Ducks have done with that, how the Ducks have done with the help of Nurse Julie could have happened if Tibbles didn't callously dismiss her at the party at Bombay's bachelor pad. So she was going under a different name then, but I do like the original question. Lars, he's from Iceland. If he doesn't go into camp counseling, we're just making that a fact now. He's from Iceland, doesn't go into camp counseling, becomes the Wolf Stanson What do his Iceland teams do? How do they perform?
Wait, we're assuming he becomes the coach?
Yes.
Because he's deported back to Iceland, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he could be an assistant. He and Wolf could work together. He could be like a you know, the trainer, or you know, the strength coach, the performance coach, if we want to do it that way.
I feel like he doesn't make much of an impact because he's like too similar to Wolf. Like he's an authoritarian, you know, that kind of coach. He's not like the yin to his yang. So like, I don't know that it makes much of a difference.
That's a good point. And all these players are not overweight. Like he doesn't have any hate for them. So yeah, I think a lot of his tactics might not play as well with, you know, a team that's already put together there. I do sense there might be a little bit of conflict between him and Wolf. So maybe that ends his stay early. But yeah, I don't think I like it, Kevin. I don't think there's too much of an impact. I think he does an average job, a fine job, you know, training these kids. But it's not like, oh, he really lifted their conditioning or their games or their skills any more so than, you know, another trainer they could have had. But
well, we need to so Steve Brill directed Heavyweight, so we do need to ask him about the Lars connection. And obviously we've talked about Heavyweights plenty on this show and some of the connections. There's a lot of the same actors as well. Obviously you've got a Carp Goldberg and Russ. So yeah, I'd say Lars is definitely Icelandic.
There you go. Interest. I'm trying to think if there's any sort of scouting capability that he was doing when, you know, these kids all went to fat camp. Was he trying to get like a leg up on the next season or whatnot? But a lot to be discussed here. I do like asking Brill that question. I think he would have a good answer for it. But for us, thequarkdeck.com, go there, contact us at QuarkDeckPod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuarkDeckPod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Tell us what you think of this really just mess that Connie, Guy, Fulton, Guy's dad, Guy's and Fulton's absent mom have really gotten themselves into. Thank you to our producers. We got a new producer, New Rule. Thank you, New Rule. Thanks for the support. Thanks to Elsie, who finally got her stickers after 10 months. I mailed them to Australia in November and they just arrived. So congratulations to her. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Quack, quack.
The Quack Attack is back, Jack. Oh, yeah.
That's a hell of a long time for some stickers to make to Australia. That's I think mail worked quicker like 100 years ago.
I don't know. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I don't know what happened. She just sent us a tweet that said, I got them after 10 months. And I was like, wow.